Akinolach, the minhag of the Shpala Zaidi was a great tzaddik. His name was Aryeh Leib. They called him the Shpala Zaidi, and there's a whole story why. But I'm not going to go in that story now. In his shul, right after Shabbos davening on Friday night, there was a special interesting minhag that all the people would gather around the Shpala Zaidi, and they would start to sing a lebedik and nigun. And the Shpala Zaidi started to dance. And the way he danced was something, not just a regular dancing, but something special. Something halik. Something that was a halik of dancing, a Shabbos dancing. And this was the minhag in the shul of the Shpala Zaidi. He danced. There's no words how beautiful it was to see. People that watched him dancing felt like they were in the Himmel. One time, for Shabbos, they came to the Shpala Zaidi, a very chashuv guest, Reb Avraham the Malach. Reb Avraham the Malach, I told you once about him, he was the son of the Mezuzah Magid, and he was halik like a Malach, so you call him Reb Avraham the Malach. He came once to spend Shabbos by the Shpala Zaidi. He was in the shul of the Shpala Zaidi on Friday night after the Shabbos davening when they started to sing and the Shpala Zaidi started to dance. And this was the first time that Reb Avraham the Malach saw the Shpala Zaidi dancing. And he was looking at him so closely and he saw how special the dancing was. Not only it was dancing like good dancers dance, lahavdil, people did that, just dance good. The Shpala Zaidi was not just dancing good. He was dancing in a halakha way that the Shpala, that Reb Avraham the Malach could see that he was doing halakha things in his dancing. It was dancing with his body and dancing in his neshama also. And afterwards, after the dancing, the Malach, Reb Avraham, asked the Shpala Zaidi, where did he learn to dance like that? I mean, this is not just regular dancing. Where did you, a halakha tzaddik, learn to dance, dancing so good? Well, Shpala Zaidi answered, really the koyach that I have for anything comes from the bracha that I got from the Baal Shem Tov. And Reb Avraham said, yes, but what about the dancing? Exactly the dancing, how you learn how to dance. Where did you learn that from? The koyach for the dancing, I understand, comes from the Baal Shem Tov's bracha. But you have to learn somewhere how to dance like that. The Baal Shem Tov didn't dance like that. And the Shpala Zaidi said, I learned dancing from Eliyahu Hanavi. He taught me how to dance. Of course, the question is, like, what happened? How does Eliyahu Navi come to teach a person dancing? And so the Shpala Zaidi told this maisa, and this is the maisa of the Shpala Zaidi's dancing. A long time before, the Shpala Zaidi said, in order to serve Hashem, I took upon myself to go away from my home and to wander around in Golos. Now this was a derech of Avodas Hashem that some people did. They wandered around from place to place. Nobody knew who they were. And the reason they did that is in order to go and help people in a secret way. To find people that needed the help, either with tzedakah or with any kind of help that was. And they used to go and help them. Usually secret, sometimes the person would know about it. And of course, wherever they were at night, or during the day when they had time, they would learn Torah. This is a way. One time, as the Shpala Zaidi was wandering around, doing different things, helping different people, he was in a certain place, and he heard people talking. And they were talking about a certain Yid, who Nebuch was taken away from his family and thrown into a dungeon by a Poritz who lived in that area. In those days, the Poritz, he was like a king. There used to be a king, but then every place, like a city, had its own little king. And this little king did whatever he wanted. First of all, he owned the houses, he had a castle, he owned the city, he owned the streets, he owned the stores. Everyone had to listen to him, he could do whatever he wanted. He could even say if a person was to live or to die, and the big king of the whole country would not miss a line in his business as long as he paid the big king the gold that he wanted. So these Paritsas were very, very powerful. The Paritsa of that area had taken a Yid away from his family because the Yid could not pay the money that he owed for his farm. He had to pay the Paritsa for his farm. This Paritsa had thrown the Yid into his dungeon. But the Shmuel Zaidi had heard it wasn't so much the Paritsa was so bad. The Paritsa was not that bad. The Paritsa had a big officer, his head officer, who was in charge of collecting the money from the Jews that lived in the area to pay the rents and everything. This Paritsa, his officer was the one who said that the Yid should be thrown into the jail until his family would pay the money they owe. And it was so much money, and the Yidden were so poor, they could not get the money together. So this Yid was now in the dungeon, in the bottom of a deep hole. There was no way out. Once a week, they would give him bread and water to last for a whole week. And he stayed down there by himself until the money would be paid. The minhag was at that time that a person that was in jail like that, he would have only one chance to get out of jail if the money could not be paid. This is what happened. On the birthday of the Paritsa, they would take out the prisoner and they would do this. There was a big party, the birthday party of the Paritsa. During a certain part of the birthday party, there was to be a dance, a bear dance. The bear dance was, they had like a costume. It wasn't really just a costume, it was actually from a real bear. They had killed a real bear hunting. They took the skin off the bear and they made like a bear suit. Like you might see on Purim, such a costume or something, a person dressing up like a bear. This was a bear suit, but it wasn't just stomach costume, it was made from a real bear. They would put the Yid in the bear suit and they would pick one of the officers or one of the generals or the Paritsa himself if he wanted to, and they would take a very heavy chain like they used for a real bear. It was tied around the bear's neck. In this case, it was the bear costume, and it was the Yid inside. And they would get up in front of everybody by the birthday party. This was the entertainment. This was the fun part of the birthday party, besides the presents and the nash that the Paritsa would get. And there was a band over there playing the music. And they got a special man to announce the rules of the birthday dance. The rules of the birthday dance were like this. The Yid inside of the bear suit had to dance together with the officer who was leading the chain. The officer would dance, and the Yid inside the bear suit had to dance. If the Yid danced as good as the officer, then the Yid was allowed to go free. And he can go home to his family. He doesn't have to be in jail anymore. If the Yid davened better than the officer, I'm not sorry, davened. If the Yid danced better than the officer, which of course probably would never happen, because you know, the Yid being in jail, once a week getting food for the whole week, and not going outside to get any fresh air, and not having any good food, just bread and water. And he's down there for weeks and weeks and months, and maybe only almost a whole year. Then he comes out. You can imagine how good he could dance, how good he could even walk, could hardly walk. And Bichlal, which Yid would know how to dance so good? All these Goyisha dances. And he has to wear a heavy bear suit and a heavy chain around his neck. You can imagine what kind of a shape he was in to do this dance. So if he was dancing better than the officer, he was allowed to beat up the officer and jump on top of him and do whatever he wants to him. But if the Yid did not dance as good as the officer, then the officer was allowed to take him to the dogs. In those days, the Poritzes had these big, mean dogs, like watchdogs and hunting dogs, and they would make the dogs hungry for a few days before the birthday party, and they kept them in a special yard. And if the Yid would not dance as good as the officer, they would take the Yid into the yard, they would throw him in, close the gate, and everybody would watch as the dogs would do terrible things to the Yid and eat him up, and that was the end of the Yid. And this, of course, unfortunately, was a true thing that happened. Now, the Shpala Zaidi heard about a Yid who was in this situation of being in the dungeon by a Poritz, and the Poritz's birthday is coming up, and he would have to go through this whole thing, and maybe, Chas v'Shalom, his family and his kinelach would never see their Tati again. As soon as the Shpala Zaidi heard this, he wants to go and help the Yid. That's what he did. He went around places helping Yidden. The Shpala Zaidi wants to help this Yid. And as he's going towards the town of the Yid, and towards the place where the castle of the Poritz was, and he'd never been there before, only he knows that there's a Yid that needs his help, how is he going to do it? What's he going to do? As the Shpala Zaidi is going, he's thinking to Hashem, and he's davening to Hashem, please Hashem, give me a way to help this Yid. It's not so easy. How do all of a sudden you're going to help such a Yid? To collect so much money, it's going to be impossible. I mean, nothing is impossible, but even his whole family was trying to get so much money, they couldn't do it. It would be very, very difficult before the birthday comes up to get so much money. And as the Shpala Zaidi is davening and thinking to Hashem what he could do, all of a sudden there came to him along the way Eliyahu HaNavi. Certain Halakha Tzaddikim are able to have Eliyahu HaNavi come to them and speak to them, either in a dream or mamish in real life. Eliyahu HaNavi comes into the world and they see him and they talk to him. Now, to every Yid, we have two chances to have Eliyahu HaNavi come. If you have a bris milah, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris milah. And on Pesach, by Shvei Chamascha, when we open the door, Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Yiddish house. Now, most people never see Eliyahu HaNavi, even though he's there, because he's a malach. Some Halakha Tzaddikim actually see Eliyahu HaNavi, and it's not Pesach, it's not a bris. They talk to him, and he talks to them. Eliyahu HaNavi said to the Shpala Zaidi, I have a way that you can save this Yid and help this Yid. First of all, you go to the town and you'll get a job as a malamed, as a teacher. In those days, many times, a person would come to the house. They would live in the house and they would teach the kids of a family. They would teach the little kids and the bigger kids. And they would be a teacher living in the house. The tati of the house would take care of the malamed and give him a room and give him food and money. And every day the malamed would be in the house teaching all the kids Torah. He would be a malamed in the town. In his extra time, besides his learning and his davening, he would go and find out a way to get into the castle of the Poritz, to get into the dungeon, and to go to the Yid. He would, Eliyahu HaNavi says, you will go and trade places with the Yid. The Yid will go home and you'll be there. And you will go into the bear suit and you will dance with the officer instead of the Yid. And this is how you can save the Yid. The Shpala Zaidi asked Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm ready to do anything you say, but I don't know how to dance. How does a big tzaddik like the Shpala Zaidi, who's busy learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, how does he know how to dance? Now, of course, by a simcha, by a chasana, it's a mitzvah to dance, and you make the chasana and kala happy. But, you know, it's chassidish dancing, or yiddish dancing, whatever it is. It's, you know, it's dancing, you dance. But to know all the special steps of the Goyesha dancing. They have a step for this kind of a dance. And other kind of music, they have a different way to dance. And sometimes they go around in circles, and sometimes they're jumping up and down, and sometimes they're going on the toes, and sometimes they're with the hands, and this and that. It's all kinds of chokhmas how to dance. This for sure, this kind of dancing for sure, the Shpala Zaidi never learned. Eliyahu HaNavi says, don't worry, I'm going to come and I'm going to teach you all the different kinds of dancing. And so it was, Kinalach Nishpala Zaidi, he became a Malamit by a certain family. Eliyahu HaNavi would come to him when nobody was looking at night, and he would teach him different kinds of special fancy dancing. Nishpala Zaidi would practice the dancing, and also Nishpala Zaidi would try to find a way to get into the castle yard of the pirates. Finally, Nishpala Zaidi found out that under the fence that surrounds the castle, under the wall, at a certain place behind the bushes, there's a hole. And you could crawl through that hole under the wall and get into the yard. It came now the night of the birthday party. There were a lot of guests that had come to the castle for the party, different princes from all over, from different castles, and different officers, and different big shots, and millionaires, and special people, and friends of the pirates, and fancy schmancy wagons. They were carrying their birthday presents for the pirates, expensive stuff, and all kinds of things to make the pirates happy. And now they go inside the castle, and there's all the food over there, and all the matzke, and all the wine, and the band is playing. And they're having their big party over there, and the pirates has his party hat on and getting his presents and feeling good and drinking, and everybody else is drinking. They like to drink a lot of mashke. And out in the yard, the yid was in the bottom of the dungeon, the deep hole, and he knew that this could be the last night of his life. And he was so shvach, and he was so hungry, and he was davening to Hashem. All of a sudden, at the very top of the hole, he saw a shadow. Somebody was coming down on a rope down the hole. This was Kinalach the Shpala Zaidi. He had snuck into the yard through that hole under the wall. He had a rope. He had a stick. He had a hammer. He put the stick, actually he put like a nail into the dirt. He put the rope around that, and he used some sticks also to help him in some way over there. And he was able to lower himself down into the hole, and he climbed way down the rope, all the way down to the bottom. And all of a sudden the yid sees another yid there. He thought he was dreaming. Shpala Zaidi explained that he's here to save this yid, and he told him what to do. He says, first, you take off your clothes, and I'm going to put them on. You're going to put on my clothes. They changed clothes. Shpala Zaidi put on the dirty, smelly clothes of the yid. Now, even though it's so not nice to say, but you see the mysterious nefesh of the Shpala Zaidi. In order to save the yid, he's been months in the same clothes, in the bottom of this hole, with never taking a shower, never taking a bath. The Shpala Zaidi right away says, I'm going to put on your clothes, I'm going to save you. And you put on my clothes. They traded the clothes. Shpala Zaidi said, when the officer comes soon for the bear dance, I am going to pretend that I'm you. And I'm going to go out from the dungeon and put on the bear suit, and I'm going to dance with the officer. After they take me out of the dungeon, you will run out of the yard, and he told them where the hole was under the wall, and you're going to run home back to your family. The other yid thanked him so much, but he said, what about you? I'm so worried, what's going to happen to you? He says, don't worry. Hashem is going to help me, Hashem is going to help you. I'm glad that I can help you. Hashem will help us both. And so it was, Kinelach. Pretty soon, they heard the gate of the dungeon opening. There was a gate to the dungeon, which was the only regular way in and out of the dungeon. Yishpala Zaidi had come up from the top through a hole, but it was too hard to climb back up. You could only lower down. But if somebody wanted to go straight into the dungeon, there was another doorway from somewhere under the castle that had some kind of an iron gate, and you could walk straight in. The iron gate of the dungeon was opening. And all of a sudden they heard a voice. Okay, Joe, it's time for you to come and dance the bear dance. Get up, and I'm going to be dancing with you. And the Yid said right away to the Shpala Zaidi, I know whose voice that is. That's the officer who got me here in the dungeon in the first place. He's the one who's so mean and hates Jews so much. He's the one that got me thrown into the dungeon. That's the one who's going to dance with me. He wants to throw me to the dogs. That's exactly the same officer. And the Shpala Zaidi says, don't worry, Hashem will help. It's good that he's the one, because now is the time to teach him a lesson, how to start up with a Jew. Okay. Since the Shpala Zaidi had the Yid's clothes on, he went out first. The Yid was just hiding there in the Shpala Zaidi's clothes. Nobody knew there were two Yidden there. In order that the officer should not recognize that this was somebody else, the Shpala Zaidi crawled out on his hands and knees, pretending that he couldn't walk. And he was groaning. He was saying, Oh, I can't even walk. I'm so weak. How can I even dance? And the officer laughed at him. Ah, ha, ha. You're going to dance, all right. You're going to dance. You'll put on the suit. Now get up and walk. Come on, let's go. We're going to the bear suit. Shpala Zaidi says, I can't even walk. I just have to crawl. And he crawled out of the jail. And the officer, who was half shikar, he took him over to the bear suit. And he threw the bear suit on him. And he says, you put this on. And here's the chain. I'm going to lead you into the party now. The Shpala Zaidi put on the bear suit. Now he was happy because nobody could recognize him, because he had the bear suit on. He got up, pretending that he could hardly walk. And the officer started to schlep him with the big chain. Now, since the officer only thought there's only one Yid in that dungeon, he didn't close the metal door, the iron door, so it was open. And as soon as the Shpala Zaidi and the officer had left the dungeon, the Yid left the dungeon, and he went outside. He found the hole the Shpala Zaidi had said is under the wall, and he ran back home to his family. And now the Shpala Zaidi goes into the party. As soon as the bear comes into the party with the officer, everybody starts to clap and starts to laugh. They thought it's such a big joke. Hey, it's time for the bear dance. And the Poritz was so happy, it's so exciting, and he sat on his special chair. And everybody's now clapping and singing and yelling. All of a sudden, somebody claps on the tish. We have to do this right. Everybody take their place in their seat. It's got to be quiet. Everybody sit down. And now all the guests and all the poritzes and all of the officers and all of their wives, they sat down at the tables. And in the middle of the floor now is the bear and the officer. But they had a certain way to do this whole thing. There came out now another officer dressed up in a red suit. From top to bottom, it was all red. It looked like he was wearing red pajamas. And he took out now like a big paper. And he starts reading the paper. These are the rules of the birthday party bear dance. The bear has to dance with the officer. If the bear dances as good as the officer, the bear goes home. If the bear dances better than the officer, the bear is able to jump on top of the officer and beat him up and do whatever he wants to the officer. But if the bear does not dance as good as the officer leads the bear on the chain to the dogs, and the doggies will teach the bear how to dance, and he'll dance with the dogs. And everybody starts to yell, "Yay! We want the bear dance!" Or he's punching the hand and clapping and yelling and screaming. And the man in the red pajamas and the red suit says, "Okay, it has to be quiet so the band could play the music." And it was quiet. Everybody's excited. And now they command the band to start playing the musicians. The first song, Kazakh. It's a certain dance called Kazakh, a certain song. And they start to play. Ay, 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 bum, 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 ba, 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 bum, bum. Now first, the officer starts dancing. This officer knew how to dance good. He starts to dance, and the bear just has to stand there. And now the officer signals to the bear, "You have to copy me and dance as good as me." And everybody expects, of course, that the yid in the bear suit doesn't know how to dance, or he's not going to be able to dance, and they expect to see the officer dancing better. All of a sudden, the bear starts to dance just as good as the officer. Fancy and schmancy and nice, and jumping here and jumping there, and making with his hands and making with his feet. And the officer was so surprised. He couldn't believe this. He never thought it would happen that the bear could be able to dance as good as him. And the music got faster. Officer couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe it. And the officer got upset that the bear is dancing so good. And now he commanded the orchestra, he commanded the band to play a different song with a different dance. And this was a dance that you go around a lot in circles. One goes around the other in circles, the other goes around the other in circles, they both go around in circles. It's a lot of draying around in this dance. And so, Kinalak, the bear starts to dray around and dance in circles, so good and so fast. And because the officer was shikker, and his head was anyway spinning around in circles, as the bear was going around him in circles, he got so dizzy, he fell on the ground. As soon as he fell on the ground, the people said, "According to the rules, the bear is allowed to jump on top of the officer because the bear is dancing better than the officer." And the Shpala Zaidi, inside of the bear suit, he really pretended now that he was a real bear. And he fell on top of that Schlechter officer, and he started jumping up and down, and he started to choke him, and he started to act like a real bear. Just like a real bear would fall on a person, and that officer was reaching the end of his life with the Shpala Zaidi giving back because he was starting up with Jews. Not Chas v'Shalom, the Shpala Zaidi is by himself doing anything wrong. It's L'Kavod Hashem that if somebody starts up with a Yid and takes him away from his wife and his kinderlach and throws him in a jail. Because this officer had started up with Yidin and been so shlecht to Yidin, Shpala Zaidi was getting him back, teaching him that you don't start up with a Yid. The Shpala Zaidi in the bear suit was on top of this officer, and he was choking him. And some of the people were yelling, "Finish off the officer, that's according to the rules. You can do whatever you want to him. You danced better than him, so you can keep the rules and you can finish the officer." But two of the Paritzes, who were friends of the officer, they came over to the Shpala Zaidi in the suit, to the bear, and they started begging him, "Please, please, let go of him. He's our friend. Please don't kill him. Go home to your family. Go home to your wife. Go home to your kids. But please, please leave alone our friend. Don't kill him." And they were begging on the hands and the knees like two babies. And the Shpala Zaidi saw that he had done enough. And he ran out of the castle in the bear suit. They opened the door for him. He ran out. The first place he went was to the house of the Yid to make sure that he'd gotten there okay. And in the house of the Yid, they were, of course, so happy to see their tati, and the wife was so happy to see her husband, and all of a sudden the Shmuel Zaidi came back, came to his house, and of course everyone's so happy. And that kinlach is the end of that part of the story. But there's a little bit more.